But also, I don't know.
Just delete it.
You know, what is time? Hello and welcome back to Snark Squad Pod, a media podcast that does actually still exist. And when it sometimes exists, is full of friendship, feelings, and snark. I'm Nicole Sweeney.
My name is Venniness.
And we are joined today by no one because we're doing our 2021 year in review. We finished 2020. And we were like, oh my God, we only uploaded like 10 episodes. In fact, we made a point of uploading our 2020 in review on the 31st, I think, or something along those lines, because we wanted to like get it to 10. And then we came into 2021 with really big ambitions. We had big plans.
It was supposed to be the better year. You know, like 2020 sucked, 2021 will be better.
I just had checked really quickly and we uploaded 8 episodes last year. We did record 10 episodes. So the next two episodes that will come out after this, we have an episode on Black Widow and then an episode on The Suicide Squad that we recorded last summer. And, you know, it was a year. I started a doc. Do you remember me telling you that I was doing this? I started a doc, 2021 media doc, last modified April 4th, 2021.
I don't remember. Oh, for you to like track what you were like.
Uh-huh. To track my year. Yes. Because we always sit down to do this and are like, shit, I forget what I watched or read or whatever. And then we're like looking at the number of episodes, like looking at our podcast episodes as our reference for what we watched. Mm-hmm. Also cute.
I was very excited to do this year in review, even though, like, you know, we stopped making episodes just because we've done it every year. And so that felt like something we had to do. But yes, everything about what happened last year, including my media consumption, is like a big shrug. Like, yeah. I don't know. So we're going to remember and or discover together, I guess, across this episode, because what was 2021? That is my question.
Yeah. Yep. That's a question for me to answer? Absolutely not.
Nobody has the answer.
We don't have our list of podcast things to reference, but you asked me before we started recording whether our big MCU rewatches were this year, and I told you yes, but then I wasn't sure. And what we do have is our Discord chat, the record of every thought we've ever had. And I searched for Iron Man, and it looks like that was happening circa March of 2021. So I think in the run-up to the WandaVision podcast recording, so like we watched WandaVision and we live-streamed it, and then after we live-streamed it, we both went back and rewatched the MCU movies to lead up to rewatching WandaVision for the podcast episode.
Yes.
I then rewatched the MCU like 2 more times.
2 more times? I knew of one.
I definitely did 2 full MCU watches while I was still in my apartment. I moved in 2021. That was also, I don't know, a big life event. I definitely did MCU rewatch twice in my apartment. I don't really remember when, but then I started doing it with my mom after I moved. We are up to now like WandaVision. Like we watched WandaVision too. That's the last thing I did with my mom was watch WandaVision. So I am currently near the end of my third in a year. My third time through the MCU. I don't really know how this happened. I guess here's how this happened. And this is probably going to be like indicative of larger media things. Comfort. I wanted comfort, yes. Relatively few brain cells. And the thing that's fun about these MCU rewatches is that when I suddenly feel like a brain cell is being activated, it's like, ooh, fun. And I can type my little message, you know, type my little thoughts to you in our little chat. Ooh, I watched this movie and I had this feeling. And then I can go back to no brain cells. And that's been great. That's been really, that has been the vibe.
I feel like in a lot of ways, when I was thinking back and having absolutely no concept of when 2021 began and like what were the things that happened last year. It sounds like a joke, but I honestly I even looking at like the episodes that we did put out, mm-hmm. I'm like, we watched like Shadow and Bone, like that was not like 2 years ago. Honestly, that's how it is happening in my brain.
Uh-huh.
So when I like sat down to try and piece together what I've been watching or consuming in 2021 or what I did, the thing that, I mean, the main thing was to me, the MCU. Movie-wise, I didn't watch a lot of movies, just the MCU. But it's not even like the quantity of it. I feel like because we originally went through the MCU in the podcast the way that we did, it was on rewatch that I was like, oh, I love this. I fell in love with right. the MCU, just binging it the way that we did. We already had all the thoughts, right?
Uh-huh.
We had the thinky thoughts. We had the brain cells activated. But this time we could just turn it off mm-hmm. and enjoy. And it really, like, it was like, oh, okay. I really do enjoy this. And this is, like, good. Mm-hmm. I mean, not all of it is great. But yeah. It is good.
It's good. Yeah. I feel like even the worst of it is still, like, good. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I retract that statement. Not because I have a specific example, but because I don't want to be held to that statement.
And, you know, some listener whose brain cells are working will be like, well, actually, remember? Uh-huh. And we'll be like, ah, oh, man, yeah.
You got me.
Well, in addition to, like, the MCU stuff that we rewatched, it was just a big year for, like, new material in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
So having that happening in tandem, like, going back and being like, oh, okay, I'm re-falling in love with this. But then, like, ooh, awesome, all this cool new material in a format we hadn't seen it before. Like, 2021 was the MCU year for me, for sure.
If you have not seen our little YouTube live streams, I think they're pretty fun. I mean, if you enjoy this podcast, you would probably enjoy these live streams. If you don't enjoy this podcast, I really don't know. I don't know why you're, I don't know what you're doing. You should, you know, love yourself.
And definitely don't watch our live streams.
And don't watch our live streams. But if you do enjoy this podcast, I think the live streams were fun. Another big 2021 thing though is that in the second half of the year when we stopped putting out content, we, now that we were, you know, both vaccinated and all of that good stuff, we actually got to see each other's faces again. And so that's what we were doing instead of making content. We were like, what if we like hung out? What if that happened? So I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, we like doing this stuff. I know it doesn't seem like it because of how we didn't do it for 6 months, but we do actually enjoy doing this. But also it's mostly because it feels so central to our friendship. Like, our friendship is that we make content together.
So. The tagline for this is friendship. Like, that's the first part. It's like, right. Friendship.
Right.
So, yes.
But then we got to have a friendship in person. And so it was like, well, all right.
Well, a friendship in person. So, like, different. Usually when we're seeing each other a few times a year, like, we're going and we're doing something.
Yes.
And we're often not consuming media together. When we're consuming media together, it's like this. It's podcasts, it's on Discord, we're just mm-hmm. talking about stuff. But because we were still mid-pandemic, like, you came and you spent time here in my apartment, and then I went and I spent time like in your house. We just like hung out on each other's couch, and so we like actually watched content together.
Uh-huh.
Wild.
Content. We consumed some content together. I think when we were at your place, what did we do? We watched What If.
What If.
And we started Only Murders in the Building. Did you ever watch any additional episodes of that show?
I did, but I did not finish it.
Okay. I also actually did not finish it. I think all I have left is the finale. Mm. I had more fun watching that with you, though. That was like one of those things where when I was by myself, it was like, well, this is less fun.
That is correct.
It was a little bit of a bummer. We watched most of What If at your place, and then you came here and it, like, the final episode aired while you were here at my place. So we got to watch all of those episodes together. But then when you came here, we were sort of like passing back picking a media thing. We watched The Voice, and then you put on Great British Baking Show, which I did watch more episodes of. I didn't finish that season, but I did continue watching it after you left.
That's so exciting.
And when Netflix was like, continue watching, and I said, okay, sure.
Sure. Why not?
Sure, Netflix. Let's do it. I unintentionally kept picking sad shit. So
yes.
Only Lovers Left Alive, which is a Tom Hiddleston like vampire movie. Tom Hiddleston and Tilda Swinton. And what else? What else did I pick? There was something else.
Inside.
Oh, yeah. Bo Burnham's Inside. Yeah. those were my selections were. And you chose Stardust.
Yep. Lula Rich.
Lula.
And then, like, I was going for the upbeat sort of thing. But then I was like, oh, I heard Mayor of Easttown. Mm-hmm. Is really good. Little did I know those were more your vibes. But we watched the entire thing together. So
well, we watched most of it, and mm-hmm. then a friend of ours who lives in Iowa, it's only like a few hours drive from my house, was turning 30, and like again because of pandemic things, she had no plans, like wasn't really gonna do it, was just gonna hang out with family, and so we were like, fuck this, we're driving to Iowa. So we were watching Mayor of Easttown before we did our little Iowa road trip, and like pointedly did not finish because right. there is an episode where a character dies. We were both so angry, betrayed,
distraught,
deeply upset with Mayor of Easttown. We jointly rage quit the show, but then we got back from Iowa and we were like, we have to finish watching this. And so like we got back at like the night before you had to go to the airport, and so we finished watching the show.
It sounds like a joke again, but literally, we finished that episode, we went to bed, and like the next day we were checking in like, you're still really upset about this, right? Like, and like, yeah, it's like ruined, not my life, that's a little dramatic, but it you know,
we had a cutesy nickname for this character.
Yes, it was so, I don't know, and it makes the like TV show experience of that really interesting to me. The best TV show that I watched all year is WandaVision, hands down. But I'm not saying that this is second best, but it was such an emotional reaction that I will never forget, like the way that I felt after that episode. So yes, where some of this other stuff is like, oh, we watched that last year, Mayor of Easttown. No, I will always remember
watching Mayor of Easttown, which on the whole was mostly a good show. It was a little yes. trauma porny. There were definitely some moments where it was just like, this is excessive. Like, you're just, I don't know, let her chill. Let Mare live. But mostly what I remember is the experience, the emotional experience of watching.
Of rage quitting two episodes before the end and just being mm-hmm. like, we're not going to watch this.
And that like pass back experience or whatever is also now going to be permanently embedded in my brain, like in terms of how I think about everything else that we watched too. Like mm-hmm. I just like, yep, there was me just picking depressed girl hour media.
Yes.
And then you said, what if we yeah. watched a fairy tale?
Yes.
Wholesome British bakers.
You're like, should we watch this like movie about like depressed vampires? And I was like, what? In this economy? Okay.
The thing is that I had only seen Only Lovers Left Alive once before, and I genuinely did remember it being like more hopeful, but like in my brain I was like, yeah, it's like this suicidal vampire, but then he's like, no, I want to live actually. But the thing to note is that I watched it, it was like the very beginning of 2021, what, like January 2021 when I watched it. So like, I think really this is commentary on where I was at emotionally in January of 2021, that I thought this was an optimistic movie. So,
yes. And this podcast is going to devolve into just like groans.
The only reason that I know that that's when I watched it is because it made it onto my little doc. I see it on the list of things that I documented before my birthday in 2021. And then my birthday was apparently when I gave up and said, I'm over it. I can't be bothered to keep track of this. I watched Short Term 12 with Brie Larson. I went on this whole kick where I was watching other movies with MCU actors around the MCU watching.
Well, that also explains Only Lovers Left Alive.
Yes, that is how I landed on Only Lovers Left Alive as well. Only Lovers Left Alive, Short Term 12, the King Kong movie that Skull Island. I watched that one as well, and then I don't know, a couple other things. I had like a whole went on a whole run of non-MCU movies starring MCU actors. I don't know why, no real reason.
It was our MCU year. That's the reason. That's it. That's the whole thing. I'm trying to think of what I still have not been back to a movie theater since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it's not really like a thing where I'm like, I don't know, actively making that choice because of a sense of like danger. Mm-hmm. I just stopped going during the pandemic and I don't know, I haven't been back. So I'm trying to think of like what other movies that I watched, but I think everything was MCU related and in my house. And in fact, when I still haven't watched Shang-Chi because it was only in the movies and I didn't go.
It just came to Disney Plus. So I that is one of the things that I watched late 2021 because it finally came to Disney Plus. I have not watched The Eternals because that one was only in the theaters.
I watched, no wait, I'm lying. I went to see The Eternals in theater.
Yeah, I thought so. I was like, I'm pretty sure when you were with Sam and Lainey at Y'all Fest.
Yes, when we were in Charleston. Oh, yes. Memory loss. The one movie I have seen in theaters in all pandemic was The Eternals. We went when we were in Charleston. So, okay, look at me go.
The first movie that I saw in a theater in May, I went to see Raya and the Last Dragon.
Yes.
Which was adorable. I loved it. But my association with this movie is that it's the first movie that I saw in the movie theater. Post-pandemic isn't correct because we're still in a pandemic, but since the pandemic started.
There is no post-pandemic.
No.
I'm literally going through like list of 2021 movies and I'm like, I didn't see any of this. So that's fun.
When I went to see my parents, we went to see a couple movies. That's like my family's thing. That's like what we do when we all get together. I mean, we didn't at like Thanksgiving or Christmas this year. In years past, that used to be the thing that we would do when we all got together. Like we'd go see a movie on Christmas Day. And so when I went to go see my parents, I cannot tell you the names of these movies. One of them was a movie with Billy Crystal and Tiffany Haddish, and it was bad. It was a comedy with Billy Crystal and Tiffany Haddish, and I did not enjoy that movie. There was a movie with Jason Statham where he works for a private security place, and then it turns out that actually he's a bad guy and he's trying to find another bad guy who killed his kid or something. I don't know. There were a lot of fast cars in that movie.
I have no idea. I wish I could help you identify the fast car movie, but no idea.
Oh, we didn't go to the movies this year, but we did watch Encanto on Disney Plus, and that was adorable.
I have not watched it. I probably watched the equivalent of the length of the movie in Encanto TikToks.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why TikTok was like, you know, you probably watched Encanto, and I was like, I haven't, but I keep watching these TikToks. So yes
that was going into the movie. I was like, I know one song, and I don't even know the whole song. I know one verse from one song, but I know it well.
Oh, I did watch another movie. I watched Dune this year.
Oh.
That was in my house experience because as part of one of the book clubs that I do on YouTube, House Salt, we were going to read the book or attempt to read the book and then also watch the movie if we could to like discuss. And I quit the book. I DNF'd the book. I could not even force myself for the book club, but I did watch the movie, and that was fine. That was okay. I feel like I would have liked it better in theater because it was such a visual experience, and I was just like on my couch in my you know, relatively small TV. But it was also like one half of the book, of the first book. So it felt like just like a really extended introduction. Mm-hmm. But it was a lovely cast.
So my parents have seen, they see every movie. They also don't usually have particularly long critiques. They just are like, oh, we saw a movie and it was fun. But the one thing that they did complain about with Dune was that the ending felt super abrupt, that they were just like, that wasn't the end of, like, we were watching a movie and then all of a sudden they just said, okay, you're done.
Yeah, this is like my complaint about anything, even in book series or whatever. If you're in a series, like, I get there's like cliffhangery things because the story is not complete, but the entry still has to feel complete,
right?
Like, there still has to be a beginning, middle, and end to whatever the entry is. And Dune did not feel that way. It felt like an extended introduction. So you felt it while you were watching because just of the pacing, it was a little bit slow and stuff. But then by the time you got to the end, you're like, well, why'd I do that for? And the answer is the pretty cast, the score, the beautiful, like, visual experience, but, like, not the story.
The story, eh. I'm looking at this list of 2021 movies, and I have another one that you watched.
Yes.
Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Did we do an episode?
We did a live stream.
A live stream.
Yeah, here's the thing. We only uploaded 8 podcast episodes, but we did, like, 20 live streams.
Again, influenced by the fact that content is friendship. Before we were seeing each other's face again in person, we were like, why don't we just hang out on live streams? And that can be how we see each other. So yes, we did a ton of live streams. Well, this was the 4-hour movie, right?
Yes.
Deleted the entire experience from my brain. And I love that for me.
Yeah, you didn't enjoy the experience. So no. That is your brain saying this is for the best. I would also highly recommend our little live stream of that too, though, because we had a good, like, mix of reactions to it. Sam and Jessica, I think, enjoyed it, if I recall correctly. It was just you and me on the hater train.
And boy, were we on it.
But we seized every opportunity to pull Sam and Jessica onto the train with us. But that really was not their home train.
No. And it really is a shame because, and I mentioned this every single time we talk about the DCEU, but Superman is my freaking favorite character and I just can't win. It's always awful. And the fact that it was 4 hours and just very Snyder-y. The last couple of years have not been great movie years for me, apart from what we, like, picked to do for the podcast or mm-hmm. what we did when we were actually uploading the podcast regularly. So this is making me really, especially as I'm, like, looking at all of these movies that came out that I did have some interest in seeing, I want to make 2022 a better movie year for me because, like, I enjoy a good movie experience, and I don't know what it has been about, like, pandemic and the last few years that it's not been a form of media that I turn to, but we have never set goals before on an episode, but
she's doing it now, folks.
I'm doing it. I'm putting it out there. I want 2022 to be a better movie year for me. You heard it here first.
I really hope that happens for you.
Questionable, but thank you.
Of goals to set, that feels like a reasonable one, you know?
Yes.
Like, you pick something that is, like, optimistic, like, this is a thing that would be nice to have, but also it doesn't really rely on, like, the world being good in any way whatsoever. No. Doesn't really even rely on your mental health being that great, honestly. Nope.
So. Highly achievable, just the way I like it.
That feels like the only kind of goal that it's appropriate to set right now. So, that reminds me, looking at this list too, Don't Look Up was also on my list of 2021 movies. That was an experience that I had. The cast is fantastic. The performances are all wonderful, but like, that was not fun for me. Like, the satire, it, like, this is what is happening. Like, I just watching that movie in this economy was very like, yep, this is how Earth would respond to a meteor. So, like, I don't know, man. I'm not amused by these jokes. I'm just depressed.
I saw a trailer and I was like, immediately no. Yeah. So, and then I think I heard you on your live show with Deboki talk a little bit about it, and I was like, I feel like I've made a good decision to not watch this.
What about TV shows? Did you watch any good TV shows other than, obviously, the MCU gave us 4 TV shows in 2021.
I haven't even finished watching Hawkeye yet.
Oh, 5 TV shows. What If? Also What If, sorry.
Oh, What If as well. Yeah. So I've watched 4 of the 5. Well, I finished 4 of the 5. What else did I watch this year? A great question. We've mentioned The Great British Bake Off. We mentioned Mare of Easttown. I started a bunch of stuff that I have not finished. The Wheel of Time, started it, didn't finish. I think I watched like the pilot to Manifest and like didn't continue watching that. We already talked about Only Murders in the Building, which I started and didn't finish. It is like always sort of my brand that I start things and don't finish, but this year has been particularly bad with wanting to end things or like follow through. Oh, Sweet Tooth, I started and didn't finish, even though I was like super excited for that one. But okay, here's the actual thing, is that like when my mental health is not great, I don't do well with media that is brand new to me, because I start to get like anxiety because of the like media that I'm watching. And that's what really, really happened with Sweet Tooth, because he's a precious little baby boy and he making really bad decisions and putting himself in danger. So I think I was able to watch 3 episodes before I had to like bail and be like, even though I know how the story goes, I know where this is going, but probably because I know where I knew where it was going, I was also like, I cannot do this. So that was another one. Oh, Fate, the Winx Saga, I started and didn't finish.
You were recapping that one. Yeah,
we were recapping that one. I started it not to recap. I was just watching it. And then like I hit a certain point and I was like, nah. Gotta recap this one. Yeah. It's too good. But I didn't finish watching it or recapping it, so.
I didn't watch my most recent thing that I didn't finish because of anxiety reasons. Was the finale of the most recent season of The Great. So I watched, 9 episodes. And I don't know. My brain was like, no. No. My older experiences with rage quitting things, there's usually something specific that I can pinpoint and be like, this is the thing that it was doing that like tipped me over the edge. I don't even know what it is. I was feeling anxious and I was just like, okay, we're going to leave it there then. That's goodbye. Goodbye to this show. I may never know what happens in the, I mean, I don't know. If the show gets a 3rd season, I will probably go back and watch the finale of this season first. But I wasn't feeling it.
I feel like every year that we've done this, we've talked about how you watch reality TV, but I don't really.
Yeah.
But then I go on to say like the reality TV that I did actually watch. So Great British Bake Off. But also this was a really heavy Bachelor year because they had 2 different bachelorettes like back to back. And then they just recently started, that's actually 2022, a Bachelor season. And then they had the Bachelor in Paradise that happens like across the summer. And my sisters and I, that's like our weekly sister date. We usually have dinner. We send the kids to the room and we're like, grown-up time. We watch The Bachelor. And then the entire time we're literally like, why do we watch this? Because the secondhand embarrassment is out of control, but we keep doing it anyways. And we watched every single episode that happened this year. We were very, very invested because it was just a drama-filled year between picking two bachelorettes, Chris Harrison, who is the usual host, said some like racist things. So they got rid of him as the host, even though he's been the host since like the entire run. So it was just like a very intense year for any of my Bachelor friends, fans out there.
I actually didn't really watch. I mean, The Voice was basically it. I think there was a challenge season in the first half of the year that I watched. There has been a lot of the challenge this year, actually, because there's now like a separate, like a spinoff series with OG cast members, like on Paramount Plus. And that's really the main reason that I haven't watched that is because it's on fucking Paramount Plus. But there has been a more recent, like normal season too, that I also did not watch. I kept meaning to, but I honestly, for me, it's just like what I did this year was like, so like, I made clothes. And as a result, all of my usual media stuff, I was not carving out time for fiction, because all fiction sometimes has to be sad and stressful. And
yes.
I did recently go on a whole like November and December, not every night after work, but like many nights after work, I would just go and sit and like pick a random either like in December, like I watched like the Netflix Christmas movies or some other rom-com that I had seen, that was very much the energy for the last couple months of the year.
Well, the most of my time went to reading. That was the only form of media that I was like consistent with, even though I did not track my reading for the majority of this year, which is wild to me because I always track my reading. I had to go like on January 1st of this year, like I went on Goodreads and I was like, let me try and remember what I read. And I marked like, I don't know, 60 books as read through like notes and looking through my library and like trying to piece it together. And I know that I'm missing things.
Right.
And a lot of it also was just like stuff that I always, you know, like this has been such a huge thing to me in talking about like media that we consume for content. If I don't have anything to say about it, or if I'm not consuming it in some way with brain cells, like I'm not really going to talk about it online.
Right.
Because I didn't consume it critically. What do I have to say about that? So there are a lot of books that I was like reading and binging that way. And that's, I think, why I stopped tracking, because I didn't have a review for Goodreads. I had nothing to say about it. I, you know, was just kind of like, whatever. I'm doing this to entertain myself for this very short amount of time. And that is all. So reading was definitely where the majority of my media time went. But that isn't to say that I have like better thoughts about what I read.
The same level of commentary. What were some of the, I mean, I know that you have like a whole video on this, but what were some of your like best and worst?
Yeah. So I don't typically read a ton of nonfiction. Like I try to always read, my goal is like one nonfiction book a month. So I read something like, let's say 110 books last year, probably a little bit more, and maybe 12 of those were nonfiction books, but three of my like top 10 are nonfiction books. So it was just like a really, really good year, I think, for me in nonfiction. So the best book that I read all year was Cast by Isabel Wilkerson. And I read it in January, February, like very beginning of the year. But after I read it, I was like, this is the best book I'll read all year. And that was true. Like that did not change at all. And then the other one was The Anthropocene Reviewed by John Green, which I started sobbing during the introduction. I was listening to it on audiobook. I literally started crying during the introduction and like just was routinely crying throughout the entire thing. And not even always sad cries. Some of it was sad cries. Some of it was like sad pandemic or like sad sometimes humans are not great.
Right.
But most of it was like, wow, humans are amazing cries, which was really nice to have like that balance. But I listened to that, immediately bought myself a copy because it's just really, really wonderful. And then the other one was White Tears, Brown Scars. And this is really funny because there was a TikTok trend that happened at some point this year where people were like, it was a turn it off trend where like people would be crying and then the sound would go, turn it off. And then they would put like a mean face on. So that started like discourse about white tears, like the weaponization of white tears. And so I was watching TikToks about this and somebody had recommended this book in particular in the comments, like not anybody I knew. Somebody was just like, read this. And I was like, I will. And it was really great. I highly recommend that everybody read it. Really thoughtful argument, but really accessible, and just something that I don't know. I guess I always tie now to like how I found it, but also like all of these things are things that like changed my mind about something in some way, which is always like a neat experience where you're like, oh, okay, that actually affects how I think or how I perceive the world. So those are all awesome and I highly recommend them. How about you? How was your reading year?
It was fine. Mm-hmm. Like I enjoyed pretty much all the books that I read. Like I didn't really have, I had one star read, and it was a book that we read for like a work book club. I hated this book so much. I actually really did. I liked the book club. You and I have talked about this before, that like when you have any strong feeling, like that is mm-hmm. a good jumping off point for talking about something. And it's like the thing that we've been struggling with throughout this episode of the podcast, right? Is that like we consumed a lot of things that just sort of like sat there with us, you know, and it, like not a lot of strong feelings one way or the other. And so I actually had a lot of fun talking about this book that it kind of seemed like we all hated. So, yeah. Like I enjoyed that personally, but the book itself, Start With Why by Simon Sinek, I think it was a TED Talk first and it only ever needed to be a TED Talk. He didn't need to have a whole fucking book.
I can't stand that guy.
I also now can't. I didn't know anything about him besides this book, but I now can't stand this guy because fuck this book. That was the worst book that I read this year. The second worst book that I read this year was The Eye of the World. Come at me.
Spoilers.
So we started a project this year over on YouTube where we are like assigning each other things to watch or read. We did our first episode on Bridgerton. It's very fun. I know that I'm biased, but it's good.
It's like objectively it's such like a good time.
Objectively a great video. So you should watch that. But then my first assignment was to read The Eye of the World. And yeah, spoiler, we are actually going to finish this video. That it should see the light of day sometime this month. My small spoiler, my experience with this was difficult enough that I like basically said, you can't assign me a book in the future. Like I'm done. I will not read books for this project because of this.
All I read is books, Nicole. I will say though, the reason that this project came about is because I read The Eye of the World again, like in January of 2021. And I read it because it was coming out as a series on Netflix or on Amazon, I should say. And so I was like, oh, I'll read the source material. And the entire time I was reading it, I also was not having a good time. But primarily what I was thinking was like, Nicole would hate this. Oh my God, Nicole would hate this. So I could not help that thought. So I shared this with her as I share all of my thoughts. Sure. And she's like, no, but this is so fun. What if we did something around like predicting what each other would think about certain media? So The Eye of the World is what started this whole project. It is also what immediately stalled this
whole It started and broke the project.
I mean, it will see the light of day. We have at least now both read it. Yes. Which was the hardest part.
I am optimistic that like going forward, we can get a better handle on like pacing and whatnot with other things. The other thing, like I say, no more books, but really the thing to note about this book is that it is also the longest book that I read last year. It's 814 pages. 814 pages.
I'm sorry, and I love you.
It's fine. You could. I'll do a novella. You got a book under 150 pages. We can talk.
Amazing.
So I mentioned books that I didn't like. My favorite book that I read last year by far was Last Night at the Telegraph Club. I say by far, mostly because of like the emotional impact. Like I had a lot of 5-star reads last year. There are a lot of like really amazing books. Like I'm scrolling through this list and I'm like, yep, I would recommend so many of these books. Last Night at the Telegraph Club just like hit me. Like there are just so many moments in this book that I just had feelings for my teenage self. Mm-hmm. Of all of the 5-star reads that I had in 2021, this one stands out simply because it was the most like personally affecting. It is historical fiction. It's set in the 50s in San Francisco. It's about a Chinese American teenage girl who is a lesbian and like her realizing that she's gay, and also like the queer scene as it existed in San Francisco in the 50s. So like dealing with homophobia on the one hand, but then like the queer scene that she finds is overwhelmingly white. And so like racism there. And so like, I don't know, feelings of not fitting. There is a lot of really lovely stuff in this book. In spite of the context that it is about a 17-year-old Chinese American lesbian in the 1950s, it is also really hopeful in a way that doesn't feel disingenuous, which I also appreciated.
My book that is like that, that was like the most emotional impact, was The Inheritance of Orquídea Divina by Zoraida Cordova. And it is a magical realism book that is about a family. Basically, we follow three cousins who all get invited back to their grandmother's house. She invites them to her funeral. Basically, she's like, I'm dying, come over. And so they're like, what the hell? But they've grown up with like these fantastical stories from their grandmother that they've always thought were like weird or exaggerated, very like big fish like in that respect. Mm-hmm. But when they come back to visit her, they start really putting together the pieces of like what Orquídea's life was and how her life, her curse, her inheritance is affecting their lives. And so it's like a lot of magic around this idea of family histories that are often obscure or unknowable because of immigration and because like the way that a lot of those things are passed down verbally. And so you don't always get a full picture, or because a lot of the ways that those histories are dark and sad and have like, you know, heavy things that our grandparents dealt with and our great grandparents dealt with. So like how that translate as it gets pushed down into the generation. So absolutely like beautiful, magical, heart-wrenching, but also it hit me in a spot in my heart that I was like, okay. I love this. It was one of those books that is like, I don't care if anybody else loves this ever, because this one was for me.
Right.
So
right, literally nobody else's opinion matters because the target audience has been achieved with me personally.
Even though I also did not like The Eye of the World, it was not my least favorite read of the year. There were worse ones, and all of them, I mean, not all of them, but like my three worst books that I read this year came to me via TikTok.
Sure.
So This is me saying I will no longer be accepting book recommendations from TikTok. From Blood and Ash by Jennifer L. Armentrout, The Spanish Love Deception by Elena Armas, and A Touch of Darkness by Scarlett St. Clair. All romances, two fantasy romances, one contemporary, all unfortunately self-published, so I feel a little bit mean saying that, but not really, because they were highly successful and bad. They did not deserve to be highly successful. So
I mean, in fairness to Eye of the World, when I say that that's the second worst book I read in 2021, I am also saying that I did have like a good reading year and that I liked what I read. I was absolutely only picking books that I was confident that I was going to like. And those, both of the two books that I named are books that I did not pick, basically. That's what it boiled down to. Was the other 58 things that I picked up were things that I like wanted to read, and I enjoyed them. I don't know.
Good for you.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot. You know what else? Okay. I'm going through my list, and I thought I was picking a fight when I said when I said the eye of the world, but I realized now that I also read the Shadow and Bone books in 2021 as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess, again, I have to say fight me.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. Oh, I don't know. It's like
they're shorter. That's what I was about to say.
That is the thing. Like, they're the Shadow and Bone books and the Eye of the World are kind of neck and neck for me in terms of like which experience I disliked more. I'm still going to have to give the edge to Eye of the World and being the experience I disliked the most because it is just so fucking long.
Those would also be on my list because I was supposed to read them, but I bailed.
Yeah.
I bailed hard after book one. I was like, I cannot do this to myself. I will not force myself to read these.
Uh-huh.
So who knows where they would be on my list, but I imagine that the experience of reading The Eye of the World is like worse because it is so long, but like technically you can't do Robert Jordan that way.
Let me clarify. I disliked The Eye of the World more, but I do think The Eye of the World is a better book than the Shadow and Bone trilogy, to be clear.
Nobody will recall this, but I'm going to follow up with this. I think maybe across the last year or 2 years, I've talked about the chokehold that Copaganda has on me. As I have been binging procedurals. I think last year it was Bones. I watched like 6 or 7 seasons of Bones. This year I've been reading through the In Death series. I might have mentioned this last year as well. Like maybe I started it last year. It's like a 52 book series by Nora Roberts, writing under the name J.D. Robb. And it's set in like a futuristic sort of society. So it's a little further removed from like current day, especially because they don't carry guns. And like she's done some things where it's like, they're not regular cops, they're cool cops from the future. And our main character is somebody who has like experienced a lot of trauma, and that is why she wanted to become a cop. So like the entry point there is also like, okay, I get it. Anyways, enough of me trying to justify my Copaganda choices in 2021. But it's a 52 book series, and I think I read 26 books this year.
Wow.
So absolutely flying, binging through this series.
I read 60 books this year. That would be half of the books that I read.
This is true. And the thing is that I didn't like them at first. So I was like reading them angrily. But for all of the faults that they have, the real thing that is now like hooked me is that it's a found family.
Mm.
Because she's an orphan, yeah, and so she doesn't have anybody. She's a cop. She meets a man and she gets married and then she has a partner. And then she like every book adds like a new little character. And oh man.
Yeah.
I love them so much.
You are a noted sucker for a good found family. So.
It is true. 26 books later, confirmed. And about, you know, and I'm going to finish a series. I suck at finishing series. Who would have guessed? Who had on their bingo board Maddie would finish a 52 book series ever? But it's going to happen. So
this is a jumping off point in name only. It actually has like fuck all to do with cops. But another book that I really, really loved in 2021 that I would recommend. It's an older book, but it's a work in translation. Like I think it came out in the 90s. The Memory Police. It's a very weird little book. It takes place on an unnamed island off of an unnamed coast. And things start disappearing at like really random things, hats and ribbons and birds and roses and like all of like all hats and all ribbons. And not only do the things disappear, but like people don't remember the thing. Like there's one day like they will wake up in the morning and a new thing will have been disappeared and people will like purge themselves of all of their hats, of all of their ribbons, or whatever, and then just like never remember what those things were, like never remember having those things. And there are some people who don't like forget things, and they basically get disappeared by the like fascist government of this unnamed island. And so like that setup primed me to expect the book to be something that it was not, just because of, like, I don't know, Western versions of, like, fascist dystopian novels. This book takes place from the perspective of somebody who is forgetting, who, like, is forgetting things, who, like, isn't retaining the things. She knows somebody who is remembering. But, like, I think that in and of itself, like, I think that the, I don't know, American author's version of this would take place from that guy's perspective, not hers. The book has this very, like, calm tone to it that you start out feeling like, oh, this is, like, an introductory thing, but then, like, tension will, like, ratchet up or whatever. But, like, no, because she doesn't remember. Like, she doesn't remember. There is this man who she is friends with who is, like, trying to tell her that this is terrible, but she doesn't remember. And, like, I think about this book all the time. and I mostly just, like, want to put it out there that I want people to read it, because I want people to tell me what they thought about it. Like, read this book and then, I don't know, tweet all of your feelings at me. Thank you.
I just put a hold at the library.
Thank you.
As we were talking.
Beautiful.
Hearing you talk about that reminded me that you watched Squid Games.
Yeah.
This year. We went to Y'all Fest this year, and there was, like, a whole panel around that. I mean, it was supposed to be, like, I'm not going to go into how bad this panel was. It was supposed to be, like, a jumping off point to talk about, like, similar sorts of stories or whatnot. But anyways, I have not watched the show because I was really scared that it would be too scary for me. But you watched it, right?
Yes, I did watch it. And I, like, yes, like, I think that if you were to watch this, you would, like, want to watch it with people. I don't know. Maybe next time we wind up on one of each other's couches, we can watch it together. Because I think that would be, like, necessary for you. I also really don't like gore, and this show was pretty gory. And we watched it with, like, you know, original audio and the subtitles. Mm-hmm. That was a bit of a struggle because, like, my reflex to close my eyes and look away and stuff. And so what I wound up doing for a lot of it was just, like, having my hand up over the screen so I could see the bottom and keep reading. So that was a fun experience that I had.
Amazing.
I really, really loved that show. There's a cop side plot that basically exists to give us, I don't know, kind of like in the Hunger Games when you see the game room, like it's like that. And, like, that's really the main reason that this cop side plot is there. I think that it is the weakest part of the show otherwise, but it is very, very good, and I would recommend it. But you specifically should maybe have a friend, have somebody in your company when you
daylight,
watch it.
A friend.
Daylight, yeah.
Okay, I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but on this panel, the person who was moderating it was, like, they were talking about how they felt about the panel, and she led with that she really liked it or whatever. Like, the big, I guess, con for her was that she didn't feel like it was realistic that people would go to such extremes to participate in game
oh
in
my
these
God.
Games.
Ah!
And I'm sitting in the audience, having never watched the show, but having absorbed enough through, like, Twitter and social media to be like, isn't that the point? People are in such dire straits or extreme circumstances that they, like, they get to this point. And she's sitting there like, I just don't believe that anybody's life would be.
Anyone's life would be that. I am so privileged that I actually cannot imagine. I, whose literal fucking job is imagining shit.
Yes. She also, like, took part of that panel to ask people, like, about what good came out of the pandemic for them? Like, what'd you pick up? And I was sitting in the and I was like, I don't want any of this.
No.
Don't want any of this conversation. I gotta go.
Yeah.
I didn't leave. I did live tweet it though. The only other media thing, adjacent thing that I wanted to mention is that when we took that drive, actually we discovered this because when Nicole was here, we drove to Orlando. And when we got in my car to start driving to Orlando, I pulled up my Spotify and it was like, do you want to create a playlist with your friend Nicole? And I was like, well, one, creepy. But two, yeah, I do. And so Spotify has this thing where you can like pair up with a friend and it will like curate like a playlist for you based on like common songs or common interests in types of music. And we listened to that on the way to Orlando. And then when I was with her, when we drove to Iowa, we listened to it again.
And like, it keeps refreshing. That's the thing that's cool about it too. It's not the same list. Although it was both times like jam packed with Olivia Rodrigo. Like,
this is correct.
In a way that just felt unreasonable to me. Like, I didn't listen to Sour a bunch when it came out, but like, I don't know. Like, I felt like Spotify was like overstating the case.
I also listened to it a bunch when it came out, but it was I also feel like it was like, okay, you both listened to this a bunch when it came out, but also like your high school playlist, like, I don't know, right, the vibes of music that you like, I feel like you will like this. Right. Which, okay.
Yeah.
But also I just peek in there every so often to see what's new. See what what if there are any new songs, and then I can be like, oh, this is a new song from Nicole's side, so like I feel like I know what you're listening to thanks to this playlist, which I enjoy very, very much.
Hashtag not spawn. We just really liked this.
Not spawn, but
if Spotify wants to, by all
we
means,
we put out 8 to 10 episodes every year.
And on that note, that brings us to the end of this episode of the podcast. This is the part where I'm supposed to solicit your feedback on the thing that we watched, but we just chatted. So you can give us your feedback on, I don't know, us as people at snarksquad.com/pod.
Absolutely not. Tell us what you watched in 2021. Do not have any thoughts about me as a person. Thank you.
What she said. Or you can find us on Twitter at snark_squad. I am at Sweeney Says.
You can find me at My Name is Marines.
This podcast is a Snark Squad production edited by me, and the theme music that is playing us out right now is by Stefan Chin.